BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hey, this is Joe Cornish.
Hello, this is Adam Buxton.
Welcome to the Adam and Joe podcast, which contains the highlights of the show that was broadcast on the 12th of April, 2008.
And these are just a few of the highlights, you know. For the full effect of the show, you need to listen again, which you can do on the Six Music website. You can listen to the whole 3 hours, music and everything, as many times as you would like to.
It was a major week in the life of Britain. It was the week when the Olympic flame was nearly doused, when the Olympic spirit was called into question by certain pupils.
Who were trying to snatch the flame of hope from Connie Huck.
I know. Awful, awful men. And ladies, that are awful.
Dirty, but dirty men.
Were wicked to watch on telly.
Joe, and of course it was the week that Joe went on a mini break rather than actually apply himself to the business of Song Wars.
I have been very busy doing things that can't be spoken about, you know, because I work for various evil government agencies on the quiet. But so I had to have a holiday, and as such we've taken a sabbatical, a rain check from Song Wars. That's an American phrase, a rain check.
I never understand quite what it means.
Well, you get one at a sporting event if it's rained off, so you can come back the next time.
Right, right.
A rain check.
So you're checking to see if there's rain?
No, it's a check that you can cash when it's not raining.
No. Is it?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Well, it's like a money check.
No.
A check that you can cash, you
said. It's a ticket that you get if the event is rained off that lets you in at another time.
You use the phrase, a check that you can cash. What am I supposed to think?
Look, let's settle this with a physical fight.
All right, we're going to have a fight. And while we're fighting, enjoy the podcast.
Bye-bye.
This is a big British castle podcast with some talking from the Adam and Joe Show radiogram. You can listen to it while you're on your way to work. And when you get there, you can listen on the loo. How do you do?
Good morning, listeners. We hope you're having a lovely Saturday morning so far. It's only just started, so if something's gone really wrong, don't worry about it too much.
Really? What?
Yeah.
What if they've like fallen over and broken their legs?
Don't worry about it too much.
Oh, yeah.
Just grin and bear it.
That's a good idea.
Hobble to the breakfast table and have some brekkie.
With broken legs?
Broken leg brekkie.
When would they go to the hospital around about?
Just don't.
Really?
Just, yeah.
Get over it.
Just grit your teeth and get over it. Don't be a wussy.
Grin and bear it.
Yeah.
Why not go and see the new Mackenzie Crook film?
Why not go and see Twice Not Out, or whatever it's called?
Three Times Not Out.
Or just get some of that new age medicine.
And rub it on your legs.
Yeah, get someone to wave some seaweed over them.
Yeah,
they'll soon fix.
Or listen, you could do some homemade acupuncture. All you need is some safety pins. Just pop a couple in your in the broken
legs. Or get Dr. Buckles to come around and reset them.
Dr. Buckles will do it. I've got gaffer tape. What's the big problem?
He can gaffer the legs up.
I can gaffer them
it's
up.
It's fine.
I can use, you know, lolly sticks.
Nice.
Have you seen the advert with Andy McDowell stick in it?
Where she rubs the stuff on her faces.
Yeah, it's for deep set wrinkle cream.
I have seen that.
And I just like the way she talks about it. She says, there are some wrinkles that age you more than others that are noticeable even from a distance.
Oh, no.
I call them my life storylines. And so, because the whole thing is about her being a famous film actress, yes? Mm. So it is revealed that she has little euphemistic names for all her physical blemishes, which are a little bit like film terms.
Ooh.
You see.
Does she talk about more than one of them in the advert, or are you just extrapolating?
I'm extrapolating, yeah.
From that one.
Yeah.
My life storylines.
My life. They're not wrinkles! They're not wrinkles! They're my life storylines.
Go on then, what else have you come up with?
I haven't come up with that much. I was hoping you might be able to help me, because you're Dr. Films. You know all about film
That's
things.
That's true. Well, I can think of some connotations for first draft. If maybe she's a bit windy.
I was thinking, like, maybe from now on I'm going to call my fat tummy my MacGuffin.
That's a good idea.
You know?
Yeah.
I have fatness blemishes that can be seen from a distance. I like to call them my MacGuffins.
That's good.
I mean, unfortunately,
she could advertise Wendy's as well.
Wendy's, right?
The first draft can be embarrassing. Sometimes the second draft empties the room. You need Wendy.
You have to persevere. Don't be upset if the first draft upsets everybody.
That's possible.
Just try again.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Now, this week on Text the Nation, friends, we are chatting about, I'm going to call them challenge docs.
Mm,
yeah?
I like it.
Documentaries that involve some kind of challenge that has been set, or is usually set by the author of the documentary. Who's the foremost protagonist of the genre?
Well, I would say that Morgan Spurlock is the most famous one.
Would you say he's more famous than Gorman?
Internationally, I would, yes.
Right.
Perhaps. Maybe not, though. Maybe I'm doing Dave Gorman down.
He's got a massive international following, Gorman.
But the premise is, people who set themselves challenges, they create the challenge themselves and make up some kind of weird challenge that's supposed to illuminate the truth about some kind of a situation. Uh-huh. So Morgan Spurlock did Super Size Me,
yep,
where he ate nothing but McDonald's for however long it
one
was.
1 month, I think it was.
For a month. Dave Gorman possibly created this genre with his I'm Dave Gorman thing. Was that the first thing he did where he met other people called Dave Gorman?
He was with Danny Wallace at that point, I think, wasn't he? They were flatmates. And there was Tony Hawks as well. He wrote a book where he dragged a fridge around Ireland.
There's, what's his name? Grease.
Bear Grylls.
Grylls.
Bear, yes.
He invents challenges for himself. The other day he invented the challenge of flying over the top of Everest.
In fact, that's on tonight, I believe, on More 4.
On More 4, it's repeated. It's ridiculous, because he set himself the challenge, and then he goes about complaining, and his wife's getting all upset. Oh, God, I hope Bear's going to make it over the top of Everest. Well, Bear decided to go over the top of Everest.
Yeah.
It just seems like a waste of
the marriage
money.
Is breaking up. I don't know how he sounds. I've never seen him. Is he British?
I don't know how he sounds. I tuned into the last 10 minutes.
I decided he sounds like this.
I think he does.
He's going to say, I'm sorry, darling. I've got to go over Everest. There's nothing I can do about it. I set myself a challenge and now I have to go. And I can't get out of it now.
So the premise is, what challenge would you set yourself if you were to make one of these documentaries?
Here's what
or
I would do.
Can you suggest a new one for
I would eat only oranges.
Mm.
No, only orange food, right? Any food that's orange.
Mm.
That's all I'm going to eat for a year. And I'm going to do it in orange in France. And I'm going to dress entirely in orange. And I'm only going to listen to music that is orange related. Everything in my life is going to be somehow...
Why?
Well, exactly.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
Why do any of them do it?
Because they're trying to prove a
thing. I'm trying to prove something.
Morgan Spurlock's trying to make a point about people's diets.
What do you think I'm trying to do?
Dave Gorman's trying to make a point about the oil industry.
Corporate America. What about me?
Well, what about you?
Orange things.
I'm trying to make a point about orange things. Is that so hard to understand?
Here's my one, right?
What?
I'm going to go around the world nude.
Are you?
Naked.
Well done.
And I'm going to challenge attitudes to my bits.
Yeah. Well, that'll be great on a number of levels.
Won't it?
Society's attitudes to your bits. That's a very interesting and multi-layered topic.
It'll be challenging for the cameraman who can do that Austin Powers stroke Beowulf style hiding the Jennies with objects.
Yes.
Thing.
That's good,
always
man.
Popular.
Here's another one. Okay. Presented with a choice of going left or right.
Nice, I like this
for
already.
For a whole year, I'm always going to go right.
Because Danny Wallace had one called The Yes Man, and he sold that for £1 million to Jim Carrey.
Exactly, there you go. I'm going to sell this for a lot more than that, because it's got all kinds of political overtones as well, even though it's just the
which way are you going, though?
Going left. I'm going right.
Of course you're going right. Yeah. I could have guessed that.
Because I'm such a fascist. But mainly because I want the show to be called Adam Buxton Fights for His Rights.
Nice.
You know?
So you just turn right the whole time?
All the time.
And are there any other connotations?
No.
So it's merely directional?
Yes.
Right. Yes. You realise you'd go round in a circle?
Would I?
Yes. Round and round and round.
Watch out, is another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
I've spent the week in Europe's capital of jazz.
The jazz capital?
The jazz capital of Europe.
Where's that?
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Jazz cigarettes, jazz magazines, jazz clubs. If you love jazz, it's the place to go.
Yeah.
I'm a bit old for jazz these days, so I merely wandered past some of the clubs and heard some, freestyle clarinetting wafting out the door and went on to better things.
Yeah.
But I watched a bit of Dutch telly while I was there.
Some jazz telly?
Some jazz. I did watch some jazz telly as well, but I watched some proper telly.
Right.
And they've got an amazing game show out there.
What have they got?
It's called Blokken.
Blokken?
Blokken. B-L-O-K-K-E-N, I think, or maybe E-R.
Uh-huh.
Not sure. And it's televised Tetris.
Oh, my lord.
Seriously. It's two people behind, quiz show console things.
Yeah.
And a man behind a podium. And they've got the Tetris. And they answer quiz questions.
Yeah.
And every time they get a quiz question right, they buy three blocks.
Oh.
And then they play Tetris.
Right.
They guide the blocks down and position them.
And it's on a big video screen.
Yeah.
And it looks exactly like Tetris.
Yeah.
It's not like they're taking real three-dimensional blocks and stacking them in.
No, that would be good.
And they're Japanese.
No, it's just on
that.
The screen.
Yeah.
And when they get a full line, the audience applauds.
Good, they should.
Blokken.
That's what I used to have a little audience whenever I used to play.
When was Tetris, invented?
Invented? I don't know.
How long has it been around?
Late 70s, easily since the mid-70s?
Yeah, how long has it been around since the advent of the Game Boy, which is what, early 90s?
Yeah, there was a documentary all about it, a Russian...
So what's going on with Dutch television? Have they just discovered Tetris? Or has Blokken been running for 18 years?
It's a classic game. I mean, if you come up with a format like that, that's all you need. It doesn't, some things are timeless. Rubik's Cube, timeless. You could make a TV show out of that.
Could you?
Yeah.
People solving Rubik's Cubes, could you?
Easily.
There's lots of footage on YouTube of people solving them with their feet and stuff.
You could easily do it.
And Michel Gondry, he solves it with his feet, doesn't he? Famously, yeah.
What a ponce. You could get Noel Edmonds to host it. And
yes.
Edmonds could wring out some drama from that easily.
It's true.
Easily.
It makes you think, why haven't all the key board games and video games been turned into TV game shows?
That's true.
Like Cluedo. They tried Cluedo, didn't they, actually?
Well.
Connect 4?
Connect 4 would be good. Speed Connect 4. We talked about this before, but Speed Connect 4 would be a good TV
Snakes
show.
Snakes and Ladders.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
Blokken.
Him flugil dashdl blubid. In Amsterdam,
Blokken.
That's the end of that, anyway.
The all-new Adam and Joe podcast has an all-new name. Podmax. The name will never be used out loud or written down.
Podmax.
But from now on, whenever you think about the Adam and Joe podcast,
Podmax.
Think Podmax.
Yeah, just to remind you folks that the nation's favourite feature this week concerns challenge documentaries.
Yeah, where you make up a kind of stupid challenge for yourself that's supposed to illuminate some aspect of life and then make a documentary about it, like Morgan Spurlock did or Dave Gorman does.
They're the kings of the genre.
Yeah, so you're going to take your role as a commissioning editor again, Adam, and I'm going to pitch you some of these shows.
All right, good.
And will you commission them? Here's one that's come in from Deep Rest, but he or she says... When I was 10, I challenged myself to walk home from school without standing on a shadow. I had to run and jump over car shadows. Parked ones were easy to jump, moving cars were a bigger problem, gaming skills were brought into play. Unfortunately, when I got in front of my house, it was cast in shadow and I had to go to my friend's house until the sun went behind the clouds. Would that make good TV? I think that's good. Don't step on any shadows.
Yeah. That's...
Stay in the sun.
What about... Hank Marvin, would you be able to step on him?
Nice. George from Sheffield, he says, my challenge would be to find the longest stretch of downhill I could find, then travel down it in a pair of those kids' shoes with wheels in the heel, balancing precariously all the way, possibly all the way down Ben Nevis to the River Thames, which is, of course, at the foot of Ben Nevis, and then down into the North Sea. I'd call it the Wheelie Big Adventure. Wheelie, the Wheelie Big Adventure.
That's good. I like it. I'm going to get Lenny Henry to do that one.
Really? What if George wants to do it?
No.
George?
He hasn't got the chops. He's not
can
a lovable...
George exec produce? Exec prod?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, George.
Okay.
Got it. We got that one.
But I want Lenny for that one.
Okay. Daryl in London. Go a whole year eating only food that's free, e.g. free samples at supermarkets, other people's free food when they do buy one, get one's freeze, we did.
Yeah, we did a similar challenge, and it was
terrifying. He's going to try and live for a year, though.
Your nerves wouldn't be able to stand it, honestly.
There was a Japanese game show where somebody did that, didn't they? They locked him in a room and he could only eat off things that he won from competitions in magazines.
Oh, yeah.
He died.
He died.
He didn't. I'm making that up. But probably. Is that one going? Is that a goer?
That's a good idea. I like that one, yes.
It's being commissioned. Yeah. Wow. Here's one from John in Newcastle. My challenge would be to cross the UK whilst avoiding any kind of path or road. That's good, I think.
Why?
Because it's about the diminishment of grass.
The diminishment.
Come on, it's a big issue. Already when it rains, everyone's tarmac their front gardens. Yeah. That's one of the causes of flooding, right? It's important to have absorbent land.
Absorbent land?
Yeah, otherwise it all floods.
You're right. You've talked me around.
Yeah.
I'm commissioning it.
Wicked. Here's someone who's anonymous. I'd spend a year in bed watching TV being brought food to see how hard it is for ill people.
That's just students... basically,
here's a quote. That's... here's a quote, a possible line of dialogue that would be said during this documentary. Well, I've been in bed for a week now, and I'm already feeling like I'd like to not be in bed.
So this is the thing, isn't it? This is the surprising thing that you find out at the beginning of the documentary. You think it would be fun to be in bed, and be
being in bed all the time is not so fun after all.
It turns out it's not
stinky
it's
and
not
sweaty,
all it's
and there's
up to be.
Food in my cracks.
Exactly.
Yes or no?
I am commissioning that. Yes, I'm putting that on BBC Three.
This is amazing. Okay, here's another one from Jem in Bristol. Spend a year only communicating through the medium of mime to highlight the tragic demise of mime as a genre of entertainment.
Well, what about people who are mute and have to
that's
use
as well.
Sign language?
I'm doing Jem's job for her, but I think that as well. Anything to get it commissioned. Anything you say.
No, listen, I'm not commissioning that. I'm sorry.
Jem! No, that's terrible.
I'm not. Yeah, what? So because of Joe's block and mini break, there was no Song Wars this week. Mm. We're going to do it next week, though, right?
Yes, we are.
Definitely.
Definitely.
But what I did was I went back into my vaults, listeners, because I couldn't bear the idea of you guys being without an original crappy song to listen to. And I sort of thought as I was emailing it to our producer Jude last night, why am I doing this? Because the whole point of the thing is the face-off element, right? I mean, it seems a bit insane if you just do one song, one insane song.
Yeah, I did it before.
Yeah,
I
that's
had
true.
My No More Song Wars song.
Yeah, but there was a reason for it. There's no real reason for this.
It was ruddy good.
It was amazing. anyway, so yeah, this is about Jackson Browne, and mainly because I just had the name, I saw the name in a mag or whatever, and I just got it in my head, and I was thinking, Jackson Browne. It was just a fun name to say, and I thought this is a good chorus for a song.
Okay, Adam's mad, and he's written this mad song. All right. And here it is.
Well, my songs are a way to communicate the pain of love going wrong again and again. I use my voice to sing. Slip away like unloved birds. I'm Jackson Browne. I'm Jackson Browne. I'm taking all my feelings and I'm writing them down. I lost love there, a heartbreak here. If I didn't write them down, they would simply disappear. My best love album is Late for the Sky. It features many songs that will make you wanna cry. It's a West Coast sound. It's warm but bittersweet. If you like that kind of thing, then you're in for a treat. Well, it's ideal for an evening with a lady or some friends. You can play it in the background when the dinner section ends. The mood is consistent, so your guest should be fine. And it slips down nicely with a lovely glass of wine. I'm Jackson Browne. I'm Jackson Browne. I'm taking all my feelings and I'm writing them down. I lost love there, a heartbreak here. If I didn't write them down, they would simply disappear. Jackson Browne's in the house. Jackson Browne's in the house. Jackson Browne is making some tea. Would anybody like some tea? I'm Jackson Browne, I'm Jackson Browne. I'm taking all my feelings and I'm writing them down. I lost love there, a heartbreak here. If I didn't write them down, they would simply disappear. I'm Jackson Browne, I'm Jackson Browne. I'm a favorite with the ladies and my hair is brown. My voice ain't wild, my songs ain't crazy. Not one of them was used in a film.
roses. Great times, great friends, great highlights. The Adam and Joe's Six Music Podcast. It's what extreme boredom was made for. Ah. Excuse me.
So you're very into that Radiohead album?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Do you know all the words?
No.
Which albums do you think you could sing every single word to? Could you put the needle, if we still had needles,
yeah,
press play, sing through the whole thing from beginning to end without missing a word?
Any Pixies album.
Really?
Yeah.
You say you've got the entire Pixies oeuvre in your head.
Pretty much. Definitely any Bowie album. Any 70s really? Bowie album.
Really?
Yeah. No problem.
Okay. Have you ever, or did you ever, when you were younger, put one of those said albums on, stand in front of the mirror, and pretend you were the lead singer, and perform a whole concert?
Like Joe Cornish, you mean?
Like I did.
Which one did you do?
To ABC's album, The Lexicon of Love. I know every single word.
Yeah.
And I think it's the album I've known every word to. I haven't constructed that sentence properly, have I? I think it's the first album that I knew all the words to.
Right.
And when I was little, I stood in front of the mirror, locked my bedroom door.
Put on your gold lamé suit.
Panties. Made sure my mummy and daddy were busy. Mummy, I'm just too good to do some homework.
Can I borrow your hairbrush to be
all
quiff
right,
my
Jojo.
Hair?
And then I'd stand in front of the mirror and I'd perform. I think, right, this is a concert. This is real. There's a crowd out there. Mm. I've got to perform this whole album.
Yeah.
And I would dance and I know all the words.
What kind of dancing would you do?
Just very
jigging
amazing,
about.
Strange dancing.
At any point would you twirl?
Quite lanky.
Twirl
of course
around?
I'd twirl.
Right.
I'd be twirling. Of course.
You know, because I could imagine you in a boater like he is in the in the Look of Love
There was
video.
Probably a change of hats. This was 1982, I stress.
With a cane.
He's only necking, miss.
Here's one from Keith in Plymouth. I'll be walking from the Hook of Holland to Helsinki wearing only a neck brace, looking straight forward all the time, in order to gauge Scandinavian opinion on the importance of eye contact.
No, I'm not commissioning that.
That's good.
Why?
He's looking forward.
Looking forward.
The whole time. And not making eye contact with anybody. I don't know what contact means.
I do.
It's a new word. Here's one from
it's
Tom.
Amazing.
This is one of my favourite ones.
Yeah.
Tom-tact. That's what it means. It's when Tom touches you. Mm. It's the word. I've just had Tom-tact. Every time you see someone smaller than you, you have to leapfrog over them. That is brilliant.
That's
that must be
idea.
Some kind of student game that students play when they're drunk.
Do you remember a guy called Nevieski at our school?
I do, yeah. Conrad.
He used to do that kind of thing.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he? What would that illuminate? What would that achieve? What would that show?
It would put down the smallies.
It would show that small people are good for something.
Yeah.
And the entertainment of
again,
taller
you could,
people.
You could have the Randy Newman track Short People on there as the theme.
Exactly. You could just say that short people should be employed as bollards.
That's what I'm going to be when I
grow up.
Get fired.
Really? A bollard?
A bollard, because I'm...
You'll be very good at that.
I'm quite short myself, so...
Here's another one from an anonymous person. It starts simply, pegs! Exclamation mark. See how many pegs you can steal from people's gardens. Would they care?
Hosted by Simon Pegg.
Hosted by Simon Pegg. That could be very good, couldn't it?
Theme music, Peg, by Steely Dan.
Commissioning that?
Yes.
Here's another one from Jimmy in Manchester. Idea for Doco entitled Man's Best Friend. I have to survive in an inner city for 1 month with no money, no organised shelter and
Did
no
you
possessions.
You say man's blessed friend?
Best. I may have said blessed by accident.
Okay.
No organised shelter, no possessions, only a dog costume. I will not be able to remove the costume but must use it in order to survive, relying on only the kindness of strangers. I will not be allowed to communicate using words, only dog-like barks, stroke woofs. Perhaps moving to a new city each month to compare different nations' attitudes. Well, then you'd have to move to a different nation, wouldn't you, Jimmy? That's good, though, isn't it? Dog suit, woof,
it
woofs.
Sort of relies on the fact that people would be fooled into thinking that Jimmy dressed in a dog
very
suit
realistic dog
is
suit.
Actually a dog.
Very realistic dog suit.
A real
and
dog.
Jimmy is very good at those bark stroke woofs.
Like,
commission?
Yes, I am. I am going to commission that
That's
one. Yeah.
Good. I would spend a year telling everyone to F off. It would be a searing study of one man's descent into loneliness and misery because he was so rude.
Well, that
says David in Leeds.
That's Gordon Ramsay, isn't it?
It's true.
That's
he's
entire
done very
career.
Well by it.
Exactly.
Watch out is another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Have you seen the ad, I think it's for Clearasil maybe, where there's a mum and she sat on the sofa stroke couch showing a photo album to a boyfriend. We're assuming it's a boyfriend. He sat in between this mum, and on the other side of the boyfriend is presumably his girlfriend, presumably the mum's
daughter.
Daughter, right?
Right.
And the mum is saying, "Oh, and here she is, naked in the bath." And suddenly the girl says, "You should see me now," right?
Mm.
And then the mum says, "No." And the girl goes, "Uh-huh. But I don't understand what's going on in the ad. Like, what is the emotional dynamic?"
That sounds very confusing.
It's very odd. I don't get it. You know, I mean, obviously there is a certain amount of it is the embarrassment that the boyfriend is feeling. He's sandwiched between the mother and the girlfriend. Obviously, he has had intimate access to this woman's daughter.
Mm.
I'm talking about the mother there. And, you know, so it's strange.
What are you suggesting is happening? What kind of a family is this?
No, but you see what I'm saying though, right?
No.
Well, look.
I've got a very sexy scene now in my head.
There's the boyfriend.
Clarasil all over the shop.
The boyfriend is on the couch.
Going to need to dry clean that sofa.
He's got his girlfriend sitting to his left.
Yeah.
On his right is his girlfriend's
mother.
Yeah,
no, I understand the scene.
Right.
But who's had intimate access to what?
The boyfriend has had intimate access to the girlfriend.
Right. Okay.
Who is the daughter of the woman showing him baby photos.
Right.
So the mum is saying, "Look, oh, isn't she cute? There she was in the bath." And then the girl sort of, she's sort of a little bit embarrassed by this. She's like, "Don't show
him
the baby."
But then why did she say...
Exactly. Why did she say, "You should see me now"? What's she trying to do to her mum?
Her whole body's covered in spots.
Yeah,
that's exactly. The key.
And she's saying, "You've neglected to maintain..."
Wash me in Clearasil. Give me those Clearasil baths.
Exactly.
Other spot things are available.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's taking monosyllabic parent-child communication skills to a new level.
And the girl says, "Uh-huh."
Lots of families communicate like that these days.
Right.
Don't they? "Mom, whatever. Is it? Bye." That's, for instance, a conversation about Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Just talking.
Here's another one from George Stottard. Subject, the sweet corn challenge. Whilst living in a van in New Zealand, two friends of mine decided to embark on the sweet corn challenge. They'd been told that if you ate sweet corn and nothing else for a week, eventually you'd pass a reformed corn on the cob, as you weren't fully able to digest the corn. I didn't buy it, but watching them shoveling in sweet corn with horrible hangovers in the rain was hilarious. My other friend and I made a conscious effort to eat the tastiest food in front of them while they were doing the challenge. It didn't work. They gave up after two uncomfortable corn-filled days. What George has slightly stymied his chances by telling us the outcome of the corn challenge.
Yeah. No, I'm not having that on my channel. What is this, some kind of lavatory show? You know, because what's the ultimate payoff is you get to see... It doesn't bear thinking about. No. Not for all. It's a classy channel I'm running.
I thought about it.
Well, now you've thought about it.
What you would see.
Exactly.
And I've got it
in
my head.
So move on.
Okay, here's one from Jean-Pierre. My documentary would be to challenge the Acme-made theory that if you dig down far enough, you will dig through to Australia.
Hmm.
At the very least, we dig down far enough to find out if it was impossible and or too hot. Oh, it's too hot now. I'm going back.
I've gone down about 6 or 7 feet and I am sweaty and dirty and I'm going home.
Keith Trevis. Here is his idea. He thinks that there should be a follow-up to Andrew Lloyd Webber's incessant casting his musical shows, a controversial presence in the BBC Saturday evening schedule.
Is it? Nancy?
Nancy, will you be my Nancy?
Yeah.
He's got a better idea. How about a nationwide competition to become a member of The Fall? Each week, contestants would have to pull lots of extreme indie stunts, playing in pubs, living in transit vans, giving the show a celebrity edge. West End stars could appear on the show to sing Fall hits. Imagine Michael Ball singing Fiery Jack, or Elaine Page performing The Man Whose Head Expanded. The show could culminate with the contestants fighting with Marquis Smith on stage. Last one standing is in. What do you think? Cheers,
I like
Keith.
It. That's very good, Keith. I like that. Marquis Smith is not on TV nearly enough.
It's
I mean,
true.
He is.
He's always value for money when you manage to drag him in front of a camera.
Always VFM.
Here's my favourite one. Hi, Adam and Joe. This is from Mark Thomas. Hi, Adam and Joe. Our idea is a show... He says it's our idea, so I should credit Gail as well, Mark and Gail, in Ayrshire. Our idea is a show where someone would live on the back of U2's guitarist for a month and could only have food that they managed to snatch out of his hand. It would be called Living on the Edge.
There we go. That's good. I like that. I'm commissioning that. Because the edge is well up for anything like that.
He is. What would that prove, though?
What would it prove? really though?
They're piggybacking. They're clinging to the edge's back.
Oh,
and
it's
they can only eat food that they snatch out of his hand on the
right,
way to his
right.
mouth.
It's not about the edge per se. It's about any guitarist.
I'd say it's about third world nations having to piggyback from the wealth of first world nations. Do you
know? You've read more into it than I did.
Well, it's important.
I thought it was mainly about guitarists.
No.
Oh.
Commission?
Yes.
Yes. Nice. Well, that was the podcast. There's been a major fight. Adam and I had a physical fight. Sometimes, you know, we've known each other for so long, there's no point in having a conversation. We're both so entrenched.
Yeah.
It's best just to cut to the chase and have it be a man-to-man, Oliver Reed-style bare-knuckle wrestle.
You see, maybe you'd think with a lot of middle-class white boys, you know, they tend to keep their feelings very repressed and there would be simmering resentment. No, we tend to strip right down.
Because a lot of these arguments, even if they appear to be about, say, a phrase like a rain check, they just come down to who's better.
Why?
And that comes down to who's physically strongest, who is able, as an animal in this uncivilized world, to survive.
Exactly. And it turns out that the person who used the phrase "a check you can cash"
is the strongest and won
an
the fight
check, is the loser who is now lying in a naked puddle of blood on the floor.
I'm fine.
A bloodle,
Adam's
if you like.
Bleeding from
and he
his eyes
is begging
he's
for
got
mercy.
No legs.
This
I've ripped his arms off
doing
and
up
shoved them up his nose. He's an idiot.
Okay, we've got some issues to resolve, which we'll do during the week, but we'll be back with you live on Six Music from 9 till 12 next Saturday.
Let's solve this with Connect Four.
Okay.
That's the way real men solve problems.
Fair enough.
Best of three?
Let's do best of
unless you win when it's best of five.
300.
If you win that, it's best of
No way.
BBC Six Music Podcasts. If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show? Sundays from 4. Six Music.